Hello, I'm Howie Silbiger. This is number 0330, the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. And it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there! Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and yes, this is indeed another edition of the Stuff File program, number 0330. And coming up on this edition of the Stuff File program, actress Dee Wallace is back on the show to talk about Bupalupaloo, a teddy bear that helps children learn to love themselves.
Bupa has 14 amazing, empowering statements like, I love me, I am so loved, I love my body. The child presses the paw, so he thinks he's just playing with a toy. So what that does, in order to create a synapse in your brain, you want a strong bonding object, you want to connect it with a pleasurable experience, you want strong repetition, and you want strong first-person statements, and Bupa brings all those together for your child.
Dr. Mary Lee Esty, co-author of Conquering Concussion, delves into the world of traumatic brain injuries.
Concussion is much more common than people think. It can happen to anybody, anywhere, anytime. It's not well understood. There's nothing about mild TBI, traumatic brain injury. A brain injury always starts with a concussion, and nobody knows, it's never been defined, what the dividing line between concussion and brain injury.
Stuart Nullman is back with another edition of Book Banter.
Hi, I'm Stuart Nullman, and it's that time of year again as Book Banter offers four books that are a must on your holiday gift-giving list. So, better not shout, better not cry, better not pout. I'm telling you why. It's happening soon on the Stuff File program.
And we have lots and lots and lots of stuff. And, of course, an idiot of the day, the guest Slater. The person who told you this was show number 0330 was Howie Silbiger, who is the owner and operator of TrueTalkRadio.com, one of the places you can also hear the Stuff File program. Thank you very much, Howie, for doing the guest Slate on this edition of the Stuff File program, a program that's also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Well, let's get right to the stuff, shall we? Okay, fans of the Stuff File program may remember 2 weeks ago when we told you about the story of a guy named Gregory Miller who stole a Coors Light delivery truck. Now, at the time, we made light of the idea that a guy named Miller would take a Coors truck. Well, we can now top that story of what's in a name. This time around, a man crashed his car in St. Louis, Missouri, and abandoned it, police say, by hopping over a fence into the Anheuser-Busch Brewery, where, among other brews, they also make Budweiser beer. Now, he was intercepted by security officers, but apparently refused to leave the property, so police were called in. Officers cited the driver. He is 19 years old, and you won't believe his name. It's Budweiser. Okay, slightly different spelling. His last name has two S's. Anyway, Bud has been charged with first-degree trespassing and resisting arrest. Ironically, they didn't give him a sobriety test while they were at it. By the way, this isn't the first brush with the law that Budweiser has had. Last year, he was arrested in connection with a robbery at a St. Louis gas station. You know, if your last name is Weiser and you name your kid Bud, you are just asking to give him a lifetime worth of trouble. That's all I'm saying. Kehinde Tewu of Washington, D.C. complains that district police aren't helping him with his home burglaries. Now, last year and the year before, his home was burgled 4 times, and so far this year, 3 more times. That's 11 burglaries in under 3 years, with about $40,000 worth of property stolen. He has given the police copies of surveillance videos showing the burglars' faces, installed new locks, and installed an alarm system, but nothing has helped. As for the police, they give me a police report and they disappear, he says. They are not doing their job. Tewu even bought guard dogs. They stole the dogs. Can you believe it? They stole the dogs. And if the police don't help him, he says, I'll booby-trap the house and I'll be sitting with a shotgun on my lap. Only when the story hit the media did the police announce that detectives were looking into the cases. Now, Tewu, it's not that I don't feel your pain, because I do, pal. I mean, I really do. But seriously, 11 burglaries in 3 years, have you considered a different neighborhood? I'm just saying. Meanwhile, two 28-year-old men in Sydney, Australia, found a shopping cart and decided to take it for a ride just after midnight. Robin Walgren rode inside while his friend stood on the back to steer it down the hill. Police estimate the cart was going at about 80 kilometers per hour when they crossed into the oncoming lane and hit a car which was running at 60 kilometers per hour, which was the actual speed limit. The person in the shopping cart died at the scene, a detective superintendent by the name of Gavin Dengate said. The other male has numerous injuries and is currently at hospital in a serious but stable condition. Walgren was a student from Sweden. His unnamed friend had arrived from Sweden a week earlier to visit him. From Sweden, huh? You know, maybe these two guys thought everything with wheels was built like a Volvo. Yes. We're putting this story, by the way, in the Darwin File because, as you know, the Darwin File means the tree of life is often self-pruning, and what could be more self-pruning than these two clowns? So there you go. Okay, let's go to Florida next, where laws are treated more like suggestions than anything else, because that's a state that's special, like short school bus special. We also have to ask the classic bumper sticker question, what would DeJesus do? The Florida Highway Patrol says 33-year-old Noe DeJesus was going 110 miles an hour and driving drunk with three female passengers. Troopers in Collier County say at 3 p.m. Saturday, they started getting calls about a man driving recklessly. When a trooper stopped the car, FHP says the trooper noticed the driver was shirtless and there was an open 12-pack of Corona. The trooper asked DeJesus to get out and saw he was completely naked and allegedly smelled of alcohol and slurred his speech. DeJesus is now facing charges of DUI and driving without a license because in these stories they always don't have a license. He was released after posting $6,000 bond. Arrest records show he has a history of drug, gun, and theft arrests, as well as knowing how to have one hell of a good time. You know, thinking back to your wildest dreams as a teenager, you might have thought it would be kind of cool driving a car naked with three women in it and a 12-pack of beer, but at 33 years of age, that idea should have left your brain. I mean, an adult brain would see all of the pitfalls in that plan, the least of which is driving in the Florida midday sun, buck naked, especially if you have leather seats. It's a cautionary tale. Yeah. On December the 2nd, a 48-year-old woman in Spain, who according to neighbors had suffered from depression and was likely trying to commit suicide, leaped from her 7th-floor balcony, but failed. She was hospitalized in stable condition after landing on an elderly gentleman sitting on a bench who did not survive the collision. Wait a minute. Not to be overly harsh about a woman who is depressed, but wouldn't her action actually now be considered involuntary manslaughter? I'm just asking. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our first guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, police said a woman searching for New Jersey didn't realize she was already in the state because of her other state intoxication. Port Authority police said an officer approached 31-year-old Carol Andino after she stopped her 2000 Volkswagen Beetle near the entrance to the Holland Tunnel in Jersey City around 2:30 a.m. Saturday and got out of the vehicle. The department said Andino repeatedly told the officer she was looking for New Jersey despite being assured that she was already in the Garden State. The officer determined Andino's eyes were red and watery, and the suspect admitted that she, quote, had a few drinks, unquote, before driving. A breathalyzer test indicated Andrino's blood alcohol content was 0.25, more than three times the 0.08 legal limit for driving. Andrino was charged with driving while intoxicated and careless driving. So she stopped her car at the entrance to the Holland Tunnel. My, oh my. What would Sigmund Freud say about that? Anyway, on to our first guest on this edition of the Stuff File program, okay? One of my favorite people is back on the program, actress Dee Wallace. She's best known for her role as Elliot's mom in the blockbuster classic film E.T. the Extraterrestrial, and she continues to make her mark on the world with other projects. She's written several books that we've talked about in the past, and now she has a little bear that helps children learn to love themselves. She joins us on the line from California. Hi, Dee.
Hello, darling. So nice to be back.
Nice to talk to you as well. Now, tell us about this bear, and let me see if I get the name right. Bapalapalu?
Perfect. Bapalapalu, yes.
Okay.
And we're just telling everybody, call him Bapa, right? You know, that name came from the ethers, from the divine, from my imagination, wherever those things come from. Because we had been having so much trouble getting a trademark. And my lawyer said, you know, kids really love nonsensical names like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. And the first thing I heard was Bupalopalu. So we went with it. But we're calling him Bupa now because we can see the challenge that people have. The kids don't, but the adults do, interestingly enough. So anyway, Bupa was born because, you know, for over 25 years I've been an intuitive life coach, done thousands of sessions with people, was a high school teacher, taught very young children in my own dance studio and acting studios. And I got to this place across the board where I realized that every single person, no matter what age that I had worked with, the core issue always came down to, I don't love who I am. And if we're ever going to change that, then we've got to reach the kids. And the last 2 years, I've been studying a lot of brain development. Do you know that how we see ourselves in the world and how we value ourselves in the world is largely in place by 18 months of age before we even have language to identify it? Which means we have developed a way of looking at ourselves in the world through vibrations and energy. And so whatever we surreptitiously pick up, you know, like maybe you had a mom who believed in never picking you up and letting you cry. You got some stuff vibrationally then about your importance of being heard and your importance of beingness in the world, right? So I know that this is the answer to a lot of our social problems because people who can get up and look in the mirror, and it's taken me years, I will admit, to develop this, but people that can get up and look in the mirror and go, you're awesome and you're magnificent and you're worth a lot in this world and I love you, they don't go join groups like ISIS.
In the world that we live in today with fractured families, smaller families, I mean, it used to be the time that people had lots of kids. People always had their grandparents and aunts and cousins around. Is what you're doing basically filling a void for what used to be the commonality that we all had in communities we grew up in that unfortunately don't exist the way they do now?
Well, I don't know if you can ever fill that void, really. But what I'm doing is offering parents a toy for their children or a tool that they can actually use themselves that will create synapses in the brain that allow their child to have the most important core that they can have, which is I'm valuable in this world. If you think you're valuable, and yes, that's what a lot of grandparents and aunts and everybody used to do for us through their love. You can't get that at lessons, guys. We've bought, you know, parents have bought a lot of stuff here, especially in our country, that take them to a lesson and you're loving them. Well, taking them to a lesson is teaching them, and I certainly gave a lot of lessons to my daughter, but you have to be aware that that's teaching them value through competition. And it's teaching them value by what you do makes you more worthwhile in this world.
So,
and, you know, then they don't have any core when a bully comes up and says, you're stupid and you're ugly and you're fat. They don't have any core to go back to within themselves and go, you know, that's not true. I'm special in this world, and I know it.
So you're talking about an age group up to 18 months, you were saying initially, where our brains are developing. How special is BUPPA? What does BUPPA do that helps to promote self-love within the child?
Okay, BUPPA has 14 amazing, empowering statements, like, I love me, I am so loved, I love my body. The child presses the paw, so he thinks he's just playing with a toy. And here's this statement, and we're hoping that the parents encourage the child or teach the child initially to say the statement back to the bear. So what that does, in order to create a synapse in your brain, which is what makes us run, you want a strong bonding object. You want to connect it with a pleasurable experience, you know, like fun. You want strong repetition, and you want strong first-person statements. And BUPPA brings all those together for your child. In the other paw, the parent or the child or the grandparent can create their own message and change it as much and as many times as they want. I had a little boy at the toy fair who taught me this. We thought it would just be for the parents and grandparents. He says, oh, no, Dee, I'm going to put in, and what he put in was, I used to be afraid to go to sleep at night, but now I'm brave. And he looked at me with these shiny eyes, and he said, I'm going to play this every night so that I can help me go to sleep. And I thought, that's why I created the bear, so that they can learn to empower themselves. It's a beautiful moment for me.
That's amazing. And like you say, you have this bear that empowers the children, but yet you discover along the way that the child can actually use the bear with its own words to empower him or herself.
And isn't that where we all want to be or wish we were right now as adults? I have three emails that came in the last few days that said, Dee, I bought this for my child, and they love it, but I have to tell you, I'm using it too.
Mm. So how does...
Because it's never too late, you know, to retrain where you want to be in your life.
How does one get their hands on Bupalapaloo?
Well, you just go to little Google or whatever your search engine is and put in BUPPA, B-U-P-P-A, bear.com. Or you can go to my website, iamdwallace.com, and it's on the home page. In January, we will have it up on Amazon, but not till then. So if you want to get it for Christmas, and truthfully, I don't think you can give your child any greater gift than giving them the core of what everything else is built on. You know, good grades, social acceptance, feeling good about themselves, loving their body, all that stuff comes from loving who they are.
You know, you talk about the importance of doing this for children, but I'm thinking of another possibility, literally the other end of the spectrum. Have you thought of taking these and going into seniors' homes?
Yes, we've had calls and inquiries about that already, yes. You know, one of the things they ask you when you're a parent is being brought into an Alzheimer's home is bring a stuffed toy for them. It's funny you should ask that. Also, I just finished a film in Australia, and one of the actors was an adult gentleman with Down syndrome. And he got a hold of some of these statements from the bear and would go around, you know, the set and go, I love me, you know, you should love you. Do you love you? Because I love me. I love my body. And he reminded me of the story. A woman came up to me at a sci-fi convention with tears streaming down her face. And she said, Dee, you're part of a miracle in my life. I had never heard my son talk. He was autistic and he was 10 years old. And I took him to see the re-release of E.T. And on the way home, he started saying every line that E.T. said in the movie. So love and the vibration of love transcends a barrier in a lot of people. And the more, you know, the more we can focus on love and live love, the better off this world's going to be, the more powerful this world is going to be.
No truer words have ever been spoken. People can go to the website, as you say, bapalapalu.com is the place they can go. They can also go to my website if they can't spell Bapalapalu, and they'll find the link. It's always...
Or they can just put in Bapa Bear.
Bapa Bear.
It's short for Bapalapalu, and that link takes them right there, too.
Excellent. It's always a pleasure and a thrill to have the opportunity to talk to you, Dee. Thank you very much for being on the program with us once again.
Oh, thank you for helping me highlight this. Happy holidays, everybody.
Actress Dee Wallace talking about her new bear, Bapalapalu. Again, you can go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0330. And you'll find links to Dee's website and also to that lovable little bear.
You're listening to The Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Drop Peter a line. He'd love to hear from you. You can email him at peter@thestufffile.com or catch up with him on Twitter or Facebook. There's more Stuff File coming your way in just a few moments.
Kelly Alexander's show is your place to be for everything to do with health, lifestyle, and entertainment. Join us as we chat with celebrities like Emmy winner Mia Michaels from So You Think You Can Dance, best-selling recording artist Taylor Dane, and world-renowned astronaut Julie Payette. We also cover important topics like breast cancer awareness and how to help your child through bullying. All this and more, please join us, www.kellyalexandershow.com.
It's The Kelly Alexander Show.
Capture your need for sound.
Peter Anthony Holder here. Have you ever noticed on some of those public broadcasting pledge drives, they tend to sound like ransom demands in a kidnapping?
Hey, your kids like this, Mr. Rogers. It would be most unfortune if, for some unforeseen reason, you weren't in the neighborhood no more.
Well, I'm here to ask for your support in a non-threatening, non-obligatory kind of way. Part of the success of The Stuff File depends on the generosity of its listeners worldwide. So if you can, and if you want, please feel free to make a small one-time donation. Just go to the website at thestufffile.com and click on the PayPal donation button. You can donate $10, $5, or even $1, whatever you'd like.
You know that big bird? That would be one huge drumstick, if you know what I mean.
If you have a PayPal account, it's an easy transfer. And if you don't, all major credit cards are accepted. Your generosity would be much appreciated in keeping this show running.
About that antique roadshow, they might be seeing a little more concrete than they originally anticipated.
No strong-arm tactics, no ransom demands, just a simple please and thank you. To donate, visit thestufffile.com.
Coming to you from Canada, the land of universal healthcare, colorful money, and the correct spelling of the word theater. This is The Stuff File with Peter Anthony Holder.
And still to come on the program, we'll talk about concussions. Plus, we'll have another edition of Book Banter. Stuart Nunman will be along. And, of course, there is an Idiot of the Day coming your way on a program that's also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Well, let's get right back to the stuff. Seattle police said a 73-year-old arrested for snorting cocaine during a traffic stop was nearly released due to his clean driving record. The Seattle Police Department said in a blog post, Officer Nick Abs Olson pulled a vehicle over for driving without headlights after dark at about 8:30 p.m. The traffic stop was recorded by the officer's dashboard camera, and the department posted the footage on YouTube. Abs Olson checked the license and registration given to him by the 73-year-old motorist and was planning to release the man due to his spotless driving record. But when he returned to the Toyota, he saw the man scooping cocaine out of a small glass vial. The officer knocked on the motorist's window, apparently startling the elderly man, and caused him to spill the white powder onto his hands and the floor of the vehicle as well. "Are you kidding?" the police blog quotes Abs Olson is saying to the driver. The driver initially claimed he was only using vitamins in the car, but eventually admitted the substance was cocaine. The suspect complimented Officer Abs Olson on his keen detection skills and admitted that snorting cocaine in the middle of a traffic stop was perhaps a poor decision, The blog post reads, "Please abstain from using cocaine, especially during a traffic stop," police said in the YouTube video. Gee, how about going one step further? Please abstain from using cocaine. Period. End of story. Exclamation point. Anyway, the Queens, New York Redbird Tourist Information Center was finally ordered to close in July following an extraordinary, unsuccessful 7-year run in which possibly not a single tourist ever walked through the door. The New York Post, interviewing neighbors in Kew Gardens, found no one who ever saw a visitor, and the center's lone staff member said she recalled only lunchtime drop-ins from jury duty at the criminal court building down the block. There was no advertising for the location, and instead, officials apparently hoped that tourists popping by Queens Criminal Court would, which is close by, would flock to the curious red subway car that was turned into an information center. Okay, when people travel to any great metropolitan city, I don't think they go out of their way to check out the criminal courthouse. Now, I'm not against the idea of the $500,000 rehab that the old subway car went through to turn it into a tourist information center. I'm just against the idea of never advertising its existence, and also against the idea of putting it somewhere where you might actually find, you know, tourists. Yeah, that might have been a better plan. Anyway, police say an Albuquerque man wanted his mother's traditional New Mexico soup, so much so that he broke into her home and stole it. The Albuquerque Journal reports that 23-year-old Jonathan Ray was arrested recently after he ignored his mother's orders to stay away from her pozole and ran off with the holiday dish. According to a criminal complaint, Ray sent his mother a text message saying he wanted some of her pozole, but she told him no. The complaint says the mother later found her gate and garage broken and a pot of the pozole missing. She stated that she did want to press the burglary charge due to the fact that he did not have her permission to enter her home and take the pot of pozole, the officer wrote in his report. Ray was arrested on a residential burglary charge. Wow, clearly mom don't play. You mess with something in her kitchen and it's a capital offense. I bet young Jonathan isn't going to make that mistake again. And by the way, if he gets jail time, what kind of prison cred can he claim when asked what he's in for?
I stole my mommy's pozole.
Yeah, he's in for a real beatdown. Anyway, and finally in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. In November, lawyer Michael Peterson of Appleton, Wisconsin, was ordered by County Judge Philip Kirk in a sentence for contempt of court to inform every client he acquires in the following 12 months that Peterson is a crook, cheat, thief, and liar. Kirk concluded that Peterson had lied about a plea deal with the prosecutor and created phony documents for backup, leading a client to plead guilty to armed robbery when the prosecutor said that there was never such a deal. Now, according to the Appleton Post Crescent, Kirk, after dressing down Peterson in colorful language, told him, "I want you to have as much business as a pimp in a nursing home." Now, that's one harsh but funny, funny judge. However, never, ever underestimate the success and creativity of a pimp. I'm just saying. Let's get to our next guest, shall we? We're hearing a lot more about concussions these days. There's even a movie coming out starring Will Smith called Concussion, which is hoping to shed more light on brain injuries in the NFL. Traumatic brain injury, or TBI, is nothing new. In fact, Dr. Mary Lee Esty is the co-author, along with Carol Shiflett, of a book called Conquering Concussion, Healing TBI Symptoms with Neurofeedback and Without Drugs. Dr. Mary Lee Esty is on the line with us right now. She joins us from Maryland. Hi, Mary Lee.
Good morning. No, good evening. It's morning somewhere. Evening here, even though it seems like summer.
Yeah. Thank you very, very much for being on the program with us. It's just an interesting fact that you have this book coming out now when we're talking about this more often than we have in the past. This is a serious situation for returning military, for sports figures. It's happening more and more and talking about it more and more. Tell us a little bit about concussion and in general, and also TBI, traumatic brain injury.
Right. It's interesting you're saying it's becoming a common topic now. When we started the book a couple of years ago, in fact, it didn't start out to be a book. It was going to be a simple little brochure about concussion for my concussion and TBI clients. But it turned into a book because it's such a big topic. And when Carol talked to some publishers about it, they said, oh, well, nobody's interested in that. Isn't that interesting, considering where we are now? But we knew it was a big topic. Concussion is much more common than people think. It can happen to anybody, anywhere, anytime. It's not well understood. There's nothing about mild TBI, traumatic brain injury, which a brain injury always starts with a concussion, and nobody knows. It's never been defined what's the dividing line between concussion and brain injury. But whenever the brain gets bounced around, and depending on how long you feel a little dingy afterwards, or if you lose consciousness for even 1 second, there's a big gradation between them. So to feel just a little shaken up, you know, they talk about, oh, he had his bell rung, and then you seem okay in a few minutes. That's a grade one concussion under the current classification system. But if there's 1 second of unconsciousness, at least 1 second, that is a grade three concussion. And I've had many, many people tell me over the years, I've been treating people with this for 21 years now, it couldn't have been very bad. I wasn't unconscious all that long. Or in one case, a guy in a rural area said, well, I wasn't unconscious very long because he was alone and at night. Because when I woke up, the ambulance and the police were there. So when you're unconscious, you're not there, and you cannot report on, you know, how you work. So it's a complicated thing, and we have to be really careful about our children. I think the thing that bothers me the most is, and what the effect we seem to be having with the book, is that as people learn more about concussions, they can make better decisions for their children and themselves about their activities. It's very important to have fun. It's important to play sports. We learn a lot from sports. But pick your sport carefully and just decide if you're willing to take the risk of being in a risky sport, then prepare for it. For example, with football, and I've done an article here that just came out this week, that there are fewer and fewer boys going into football in high school because of the information that's coming out. Probably the most important thing for a child who's going to play football comes out of Boston University, the big brain injury study center there, which is that if a boy's going to play football, they shouldn't start until they have hair in their armpits. What that means is their body development has reached a point where the neck muscles are really pretty strong, and that will reduce the severity and maybe the incidence of concussion.
So are you saying then that
the brain bouncing around is what causes the problem? And if the neck is weak, as it is for girls in soccer, they have very serious concussions because, you know, female necks never get as strong as men.
Right. So are you saying then that, for instance, you're talking about boys not playing football until they grow underarm hair, basically hitting that puberty period. Are you saying things like Pop Warner football should be out? Because that's usually younger kids, right?
That's younger kids, and the incidence is not good. And I know that's a heresy in Texas. But, you know, make a reasoned choice. Because the brain does not go back to normal after a concussion. Hmm. Every little hit is cumulative. And we make maps of brain activity. In other words, it's something that shows whether a brain is working in a balanced fashion or not, if people are symptomatic in some way, there will be an imbalance in the way the brain produces energy. One way this shows up in children is in getting a diagnosis of ADD. That is confirmed now with research. Years ago, the head of pediatric neurology at Johns Hopkins said that when a child's brought to us and the question is, why are they having these learning problems? What's going on? And his answer is that they have to find out about the seemingly innocent, simple, non-dangerous falls, especially before age 5, because they say a child will be diagnosed with ADD later. And interestingly enough, in the diagnostic manuals, the items that come under the diagnosis of post-concussion syndrome are virtually identical to those under ADD.
You know,
so the brain gets rattled around, you know, it's just not going to function as well. And that's one way it shows up.
Right. I was looking over some of the information before talking to you, and one of the things I noticed is something called Hollywood head injuries, and it reminded me of something when I was growing up. I grew up watching, when I was a teenager, one of my favorite shows on TV was on the CBS series Mannix, starring Mike Connors. And the thing that I would notice when I was a kid watching the show was every second week, it seemed to be someone was sneaking up behind him and basically pistol whipping him and hitting him with the butt of a gun, knocking him unconscious.
Right.
And I would say when I was watching that show, I said, accumulatively, that can't be healthy.
I think intuitively you hit it on the head. Pardon the pun, but yep. Yeah, and I love Carol's term, the Hollywood head injury. We went to see the James Bond thing recently. It's like, really? You know, the car rolls over and you get hit with this and that and the other thing and jump up and you're fine. If only. I wish we were built that way.
Yeah.
That would be great. It really would.
Now you know you've already mentioned it's we have to make sports safer. You're not against sport itself; just be safer when doing it. But having said that, based on the very nature of one particular sport, boxing, do you think this is something that should be done away with?
You know, if you choose to do it, fine. But just know that, you know, things are going to happen.
I mean, isn't the whole idea of the sport?
One thing about the treatment, the neurotherapy that's available in many, many places around the country, mm-hmm. all kinds of neurotherapy, I see it as a restorative treatment. In other words, I've been doing this 21 years. I've seen people who couldn't work. In fact, the very first research funding I had was from an NIH first study with mild to moderate head injury. People who hadn't worked for years, who'd had to drop out of school, could go back to their jobs after having neurotherapy. And they'd been through some of the multiple TBI rehabs. But there's something about neurotherapy that helps the brain to restore its function. Now, there's no one concussion. Concussions vary all over the place. And there's probably a genetic component somewhere, because some people seem to be able to take a lot of punishment and they, you know, can keep doing pretty well. But that's a rare case.
So what you're saying...
It's important. I think we have kids, a lot of kids brought to us now. A hockey player, for example, had one, and we were able to get him back on the ice. But what happened to him then was that before a big game, he would come for treatment because he said, I'm always faster and better afterwards. So there's a peak performance thing. But to me, that's preventive. In other words, if you get hit and you've got headache, you've got chronic headache, you can't concentrate anymore, your sleep is messed up, people become irritable, very overreactive, and get very fatigued, then it's really hard to function. But with neurofeedback, we found that that can be changed pretty quickly, and then they're back to punching. So if you get hit again, you've got a much better chance. You know, you're starting from a better place.
So what we're learning here?
I'm treating these veterans with all kinds of brain injuries right now, and you know, and they're back in school. They're working again.
So what we're learning here now is the idea that something such as using neurofeedback and doing it without drugs is a helpful way of helping somebody who has a concussion. But first, generally speaking, we have to understand that the concussion has taken place, and we have to learn to treat it as a serious head injury, not just something like a headache that comes and goes away, correct?
Yeah, this is not like stubbing your toe. You know?
Right.
And the brain is wonderful. We can take hits, and we learn to compensate. And we, you know, people just decide, well, I'm just not very good. I've got a bad memory. That's just the way it is. So I have to work harder to do, you know, my job or to get out of school. Because the new pathways will come in, but they're not necessarily, those neurons aren't necessarily assigned to the job of remembering what you read very easily, being able to do homework very easily, or just talking to a kid who's doing his homework much faster now. Never thought he could. And that's great. I see it as a preventive, probably. More research needs to be done on that. But certainly it gets people back to where the one thing I'm very comfortable saying is if you do this treatment, it works for you, your life is going to get easier.
The book is called Conquering Concussion, Healing TBI Symptoms with Neurofeedback and Without Drugs. People can find more information by going to the website brainwellnessandbiofeedback.com, correct?
Yes, that's one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very, very much, Dr. Esty, for being on the program with us. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Enjoyed it.
Dr. Mary Lee Esty, co-author of Conquering Concussion, Healing TBI Symptoms with Neurofeedback and Without Drugs. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0330, and you'll find links to Dr. Esty's website, plus links to either Amazon.com or Amazon.ca, where you can order her book directly. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holden.
I'm Bob DiRigo-Jones, and this is Let's Be Fair. Here's some sobering news from the world of medicine. A practicing cardiologist who also teaches at one of the top medical schools in the country says that the type of medicine you receive is too often being dictated by fear rather than facts. The reason for this is the amount of time American physicians now spend defending themselves from lawsuits rather than tending to patients. Compare physicians in America with physicians in Europe, for example. According to a study by one of the leading survey research companies in the United States, 99% of American physicians in high-risk specialties will face a lawsuit at least once in their careers. In Europe, that number is only 20%. Let's be fair, there's no evidence that doctors in the U.S. are any worse than doctors in Europe. It's our legal system that allows this. So, doctors order more tests to cover themselves in case they're sued, and the cost of healthcare we all pay skyrockets. It doesn't need to be this way. Learn more. Visit our website at centerforamericatv.org.
Hi, this is Wynonna Judd, and you probably don't think of me as a person with an eating disorder, but here's my truth. Eating disorders are real, and they are not just about losing weight. Eating disorders are the way you feel about your body and the way you treat yourself. For years, I have been a compulsive overeater, and it wasn't until its effects threatened my health, my family, and my career that I finally reached out for help. Recovering from an eating disorder is possible, and I'm living proof. But you have to take the first step, so I urge you to visit nationaleatingdisorders.org.
Latitude, 47 degrees, 14 minutes north. Longitude, 84 degrees, 39 minutes west. Location, Montreal, Canada. This is the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. It's time to crack a spine. The Stuff File presents Book Banter with Stuart Nolman. Once again, here's Peter Anthony Holder.
Tis the season to go flipping through books, and Stuart Nolman has some titles for you just in time for the holidays. Hi, Stu.
Hi, Peter. That's right, and browsing through the bookstores, too. Don't forget that.
Absolutely. There are still some brick-and-mortar places out there, a few of them.
Oh, yes, and they're pretty good ones, too, actually. Stacked with so many caught multiple copies of my favorite books. I just love going to bookstores around this time of year.
So we always have you on this time of the year to give a rundown of basically some of your best books of the year for people who want to go back and pick up some of these books as either for themselves or for holiday gifts. So what do you recommend?
Well, I got four suggestions, actually. Three gift books and one regular book. Let's start with the three gift books. First of all, Saturday Night Live, the book, celebrated its 40th anniversary this year. What a book. What a book. What a book. This, if you want the ultimate book on the history of the show, this is it. Rare photographs from behind the scenes, 40 years of the show, from examining every aspect of the show, from the opening monologue to Weekend Update, musical guests, to the closing. A catalog of every single host, the musical guests, the sketches, year to year. This is the book. If you're a Saturday Night Live fan, this is the book you must have. You've got to have it. This is my book of the year, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's high praise.
Yeah, if you've seen it the first 5 years, you've seen it recently, what a catalog. What a great treasure of the history of a show that started off as, you know, basically an excuse not to run Tonight Show reruns. It's now a pop culture phenomenon. It's called Saturday Night Live, the book. It's published by Taschen, and it's $59.95.
Did you go flipping through the Gene Dumagian part very quickly, or did you enjoy that as well?
Just in sort of like Schadenfreude kind of
mode. Okay, gotcha. Gotcha. it's sort of like the second Darren Stevens, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I told Demani, or she was once called.
Yeah. Okay, so SNL, the book, and what's your second choice?
Beatles fans, rejoice. Ringo Starr, who was an avid amateur photographer during his time with the Beatles and even before and after, put out a book called Photograph, which is a collection of his best photographs that he's taken over the past 60-odd years. It was first released last year, limited edition, sold out, 200 copies. I think it was like well over $300, the book. It's now available in a much more affordable edition. And it's a great collection of photographs that he took that you are rarely seen during his years with Rory Storm and the Hurricanes, the Beatles, and post-Beatles. A lot of great intimate photos, a lot of great candid photos that are part of this collection. And he's a pretty good photographer, actually. I mean, I'm surprised he hasn't done an exhibition of photos by Ringo. What a great book.
Can you still call him an amateur photographer if he's actually getting paid to put out a book? And a book, by the way, that initially was $300.
Yeah, exactly. And sold out. But I found out that the proceeds from the sale of the limited edition photograph and also the more popular edition are going to his Lotus Foundation, and it aids a lot of charities that Ringo supports.
Excellent.
So in a way, he's getting paid for it, but the money's going to some good causes.
Excellent. So what's that? So it's photographs by Ringo Starr, correct?
Well, it's by Genesis Publications, and it's $69.95. For me, if you want to give me a gift for this Christmas or for my birthday coming up, this is the book you get me.
Okay. What's your third choice?
Peanuts is celebrating its 65th anniversary. A lot of tribute books that are celebrating the life of Charlie Brown, Lucy, Linus, and his pals. Best one in the bunch called Only What's Necessary. And this is a coffee table book, which include rare drawings, original drawings, paraphernalia, memorabilia, dealing with Charlie Brown and Peanuts from the Charles M. Schulz archives in the Charles M. Schulz Museum in California. I mean, this tells the complete story of this great man, his great strip, and the career he had and the impact that the comic strip had. Even some rare stuff of some of his art that wasn't Peanuts. Like, he did the artwork for the Art Linkletter bestsellers Kids Say the Darndest Things and Kids Still Say the Darndest Things. Also, he did another strip called It's Only a Game, which didn't last very long. And also some great memorabilia, like some rare Peanuts publications where, especially for Ford dealers, because Peanuts, the characters, pushed the Ford Falcon in the early 60s before the specials came out on TV. So there's some great sales pamphlets featuring Charlie Brown and his gang promoting the Ford Falcon.
You mean there was somebody before MetLife?
Oh, yes. And it paid very nicely for Ford back in 1960, 61, 62. But what a great book. And even the story behind the final strip that Schulz put out, which published the day after he died, I mean, the original drawings, original story behind it, I just even read this, I still get very choked up.
Wow.
When I read about the final strip.
Okay. So the book is?
It's called Only When What's Necessary, and it's published by Abrams Comic Arts, a great publisher of coffee table books, art-related, and it's $49.95.
And the fourth book, you said, is not necessarily a coffee table type of book. It's just, as we say, a regular book to read. What's the fourth title?
Well, it's called The Wright Brothers by David McCulloch, a great historian, host of PBS's American Experience. Tells the story of Orville and Wilbur Wright and their creation that changed the world of transportation in 1903. But what I like about it is that he's like a great Pierre. He's like a Pierre Burton, but without killing as many trees. He tells the story of Orville and Wilbur, and what I found interesting is that when they did the famous flight of Kitty Hawk, which was three years in the making, the flying machine didn't catch on in the United States until about 1910. Only when it became popular in France. And it caught up in France in 1908, 1909 is when the United States started taking a serious look at the Wright brothers' famous invention.
Well, maybe the Wright brothers should have tweeted more.
Maybe. Well, maybe they could have used passenger pigeon or carrier pigeon for that matter. Yeah. But David McCulloch really knows how to get the best in his historical subjects. He's done it with Harry Truman and John Adams and the Brooklyn Bridge and the Panama Canal. And he does it with Orville and Wilbur Wright to a great extent, and it's been on the bestseller list for weeks and weeks and weeks, and it's one of my favorite books of the year also. It's called The Wright Brothers by David McCulloch, published by Simon & Schuster, and it's $36.
Now, David McCulloch puts out some amazing work, as you just said, but I'm curious to know that, was it just by design? I've noticed that all four books you recommend for the holiday period as potential gifts are all nonfiction.
Nonfiction makes a great gift. A nonfiction book makes a great gift, whether it be for your birthday or for Christmas. It's more of a keepsake,
right?
Actually, novels. I mean, yeah, if you get them in hardcover, no problem. Maybe if you get it from a best-selling author like Stephen King's, hardcover books are always good to keep. But nonfiction is more of you can leaf through that again and again and again, or read again and again and again. These are more like keepsakes that look great on a bookshelf. Like mine.
Like yours, which I'm sure frightens your neighbors downstairs.
Oh, it certainly does, but it keeps me warm in the winter.
Exactly. So the four books are Saturday Night Live, the book, Photographs by Ringo Starr, Only What's Necessary, a book that tells everything about Peanuts, and The Wright Brothers by David McCulloch, right?
That's it.
Excellent, sir. Happy holidays to you, and we'll talk to you in the new year. In the meantime, how can people find you?
Well, they don't find me at the local bookstore, sneaking around and browsing and buying books. They can find me in the Montreal Times, where my Book Banter column is seen every week, in print or online at www.mtltimes.ca.
Thank you very much, Stuart. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year.
And all the best. Have a great holiday season, Peter. And I'll speak to you and all to you loyal listeners in 2016.
Excellent. Stuart Nolman with another edition of Book Banter here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
The Stuff File.
And we're into the home stretch here on the Stuff File program. I do have one more Stuff File news story to get to before we get to our idiot of the day. 19-year-old Damon Matthews surrendered to police in Bay City, Michigan in November and confessed to robbing a 7-Eleven. His sister had convinced Matthews that police would soon arrive to apprehend him because even though he wore a ski mask disguise, Matthews is 7'4" and a former high school classmate of the clerk. It was left unreported why Matthews thought the mask would have helped him. Now, I was going to make this guy the idiot of the day, but instead, he's just idiot adjacent, because we do indeed have a clear-cut winner this week. So now, without further ado, boys and girls, it's time for the idiot of the day.
And now it's time for the strange things adults do. The Stuff File presents the idiot of the day.
Over the years on this show, we've had people who were varying degrees of stupid, but this one has to be in the Idiot Hall of Fame. 43-year-old Doreen Springs Weston went to Rock Hill, South Carolina Municipal Court, allegedly identified herself as her own mother, and tried to present a forged document declaring her dead so that she could avoid drunk driving charges. The court clerk, however, recognized Weston and called the police. She was arrested and charged with obstruction of justice. Now, in court, Judge Dolores Williams noted Weston did that in an attempt to get four court cases dismissed due to the defendant being dead. Weston asked, "If I plead guilty, can I get my cases to run concurrent?" The judge said, "No." The drunk driving charge was only a misdemeanor, but the obstruction of justice charge is a felony. She's facing up to 10 years in prison. "Huh?" Weston said. "I'm going to do time for that?" Meanwhile, the judge gave her 90 days in jail for failure to appear in court, giving false information to police, DUI driving with a suspended license, because they always have a suspended license, and having an open alcohol container in her vehicle. She also has pending cases for drug possession and larceny. "Are you out on bond for a drug charge?" the judge asked her. "Yes, but the drugs were mine," Weston answered. "Wow. So she says the drugs are hers. This makes it better?" Yikes. You know, they say drugs may make people stupid, but it sounds like she had a running start. I mean, why, oh why, would you go to court pretending to be your mother to declare yourself dead in an attempt to avoid four other cases against you dismissed? And why did you think that telling the judge that the drugs were only yours would help your case? Well, one reason, and one reason only. You're an idiot!
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's it for this edition of the Stuff File program number 0330. Hope you enjoyed it. The website is thestufffile.com. And once again, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H, where you'll find information and links and all of our guests by going to the weekly Stuff File page. Just look for the corresponding program number. And once again, that's 0330. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You could also find me on Facebook and Twitter as PA Holder. And don't forget to check out the Stuff File store, where you can purchase a plethora of Stuff File merchandise, from t-shirts to mugs to tote bags to mouse pads. Hope to see you back here for our next show, on the air, online, or as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including CyberStationUSA.com, KDXRadio.com, AirChecker, Canada's number one radio source, streaming on PCJ Radio International and its partner stations, TrueTalkRadio.com, downloaded in iTunes and Stitcher, and over the air on World FM in New Zealand, MediaCorp in Singapore, and WSTJ in St. Johnsbury, Vermont.
You've been listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. Let me leave you with these words of wisdom. Never, ever juggle ice picks while standing on your waterbed.